finding that person, finding your person is always like a whole mission. And I remember when I turned 28, my mom was looking at me like I was a disease walking around the house. Like, she could not stand my existence. I was like trying to celebrate my birthday and be excited. I'm like, hey, I'm 28. And she was disgusted with me. She was like, why are you happy? Why are you breathing in this house? Why are you here? Why are you not married? Like, that was her number one thing. And I remember, like, anytime anything would happen to me, the solution would be, you know why? Because you're not married. Like, it would always go back to that. And it's just like, you know, like, they lived a different life where, like, my mom got married at 24. So in her mind, I'm 4 years late.
Who would have known that one of the worst things about adulting would be relationship struggles? As they say, first comes the butterflies, and then comes emotional trauma. You're listening to Unsweetened and Unfiltered, the podcast, episode 30 of season 3. Since we're in the midst of dealing with seasonal depression, I had to bring on my girl May from May's Vault to cheer us up a bit. Before I give you the scoop on today's episode, May pulled the oldest Arab girl trick in the book. You know, the one where people can't tell if we're single or if we're in a 7-year relationship or possibly getting engaged tomorrow night. Who knows? Well, when recording this episode, May was as single as can be, or so I thought. This past week, we found out May got engaged and the internet erupted with joy. A huge congrats to one of my favorite people, and I'm truly wishing May and her fiancé endless love and happiness, inshallah. As for today's episode, we have a lot of important topics to cover, such as who is more famous, May or Mama Wafat, who we have all come to know and love. And in this conversation, May takes us through her journey of becoming a viral sensation and how she continues to come up with relatable content that sends us all laughing. It's true when they say that laughter is the best form of medicine. And I'm not alone when it comes to appreciating May for creating such hilarious content that truly takes a lot of effort behind the scenes. And in this episode, I may have flipped the script on May and asked her very juicy relationship questions, from deal breakers to turnoffs. And what would she do if her date asked her to split the bill? Let's dive in. Thank you so much for joining me today, May. I honestly am so excited about this conversation. There's so much to get into. I think you're so hilarious. You always make me laugh. You're literally the topic of conversation between my friends and I because of how relatable your content is. But I would love for you to introduce yourself and then inshallah, we can get right into it.
Thank you so much for having me. This is May. I am the Egyptian-American comedy sensation, the hottest chick in the Queens, New York.
This is like the one time I wish I was actually recording like the video so everybody could see you. Like I said, I'm so excited, May. I think you are incredible. You have become like this worldwide sensation in our community. And I just want to talk about how your comedy is like almost like a universal language, like how you always come up with all this relatable content, and all of us do see ourselves in your skits, especially your skits with Mama Wafat. But I kind of want to take it back to your appearance with Mel Robbins. In that conversation that you had with her, she said something that was so interesting when she said, "Your life, your happiness is your responsibility." I'm like, have you ever met an Arab mom before? Like, that doesn't work out with us. So, how did it work out for you?
Yeah, it's crazy because I went on the Mel Robbins show twice. So the first time I went without my mom. I was at a place where I was really confused and I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, I knew I was going to start, but you know, when you start something completely new, you're kind of like not insecure, but you're self-conscious. You're not as confident. I didn't know what I was doing. So I went on the show and I kind of just wanted to say like my piece and say, hey, I wanted to start social media, but you know, my family's not really supportive. It's a really brand new concept for them and it's not something that is considered like a full-time job. It was cool to get that off my chest, but I do see that part where it's like my happiness, my life, because that's not really an Arab thing. That's not really a first generation foreign mom concept. Like if you come from an ethnic family, that doesn't exist. So I took it with a grain of salt, but it was cool also to be on TV and be like, hey, yes, I'm on TV. Like it was cool at the same time. But like, honestly, like she was very genuine with her advice and she did mean it from a good place. And so I appreciated that. And that was like a really good nudge for me. And it was crazy because she invited me on the show a second time. It was an update from the first show. So they literally were playing clips of us, me by myself, looking all wimpy and scared on TV. And then they showed like the follow-up next year. And then I had my mom with me on the show. And it was crazy. And like, even Mel Robbins was like making us sit on the couch with her more. She loved us. Like, it just like chemistry. Like, we had everything going. And it was within a year.
That is crazy to me, like a whole year transformation. Like, that's what you call, honestly, a glow up, at least for us in our Arab community. Like, that's really hard to do. But I've always said this on the podcast, and maybe I'm speaking through experience. Your parents always come around. But like you said, it's that first time of, you know, you being on that show. I think it was one part of you speaking your dreams into existence. And then the second part, sometimes we need that reassurance. I don't know what's so wrong about asking for reassurance from people. Like, I understand, like, we should be confident. We should own our dreams. Own our passions, but sometimes you need that nudge, and sometimes you need it from loving people, and sometimes you need it from strangers or people who have their own incredible show like Mel Robbins. So when I watched that, I was just like amazed by it because, like, yeah, the second time around, here you were sitting with your mom, the one person you kind of almost feared when it came to pursuing your dreams. But here she is sitting right next to you. Like, that is a complete 180. What advice do you have for anybody that kind of wants to bring their dreams into reality, and the one thing that they feel is holding them back is their family's views on it and maybe their lack of support? But at the end of the day, you do feel like your parents and your family do support you now. So how did that happen?
So honestly, it happened for me because, like, for me, it took me a very long time to find what I love to do. The moment I found it, even though it was scary as hell and it was like completely different, I was like, all right, this is something that I've been searching for. Like, everybody always knew they were going to be a doctor. They knew they were going to be an engineer. And I was always like the awkward duck just blabbing a random profession. So when I finally got to that point where I was like, okay, I love creating. I want to be a content creator. I want to showcase this type of comedy, and I don't feel like we're represented. When I finally found that passion and that love, I was just so determined. I was like, even if my mom was with it or not, I was just creating. Like, I just started. People, when they know what they want, they don't even need advice. They just do it themselves. Like, you go and get it when you know it's for you, right? So I feel like because I was very consistent, because I was very passionate about it, because I was doing it every single day and that was all I was talking about and doing it, what else was my family gonna do? You know what I mean? So a main reason that my mom was with me in my skits was because it was so foreign to her that she was even worried, but the fact that she was a part of it helped her relax more. So like, it wasn't really the unknown because she was with me in the videos, watching them, seeing the feedback, seeing the impact, seeing everything. But I knew it started with me. Like, I knew I decided and I acted, and it just was an effect afterwards.
Exactly. Like, I think no matter what, like I said earlier, yeah, you do need the reassurance, the nudge, but people can push you so much as you decide to finally like get up and go after your dreams or your passions, or if you're opening a business or you're going after a certain career or anything like that. At the end of the day, you end up being the main character. Even though in your skits, like, serious question, who do you think is more famous, you or your mom? Because it's really hard to choose who's the main character. You guys are both incredible.
Yeah, this is hard. I don't like to admit this. My mom is not, let's not say main character. Let's just say, like, I don't know, Matt. This is, you know what? We were doing so well.
Yes.
We were vibing so well.
Okay? And then I had to bring in Mama Wafez.
Mama has her fame. I have my own fame. Let's just keep it at that.
She's going to have her own crew. Look, she's going to have her own page one day. You're like, uh-oh, I'm getting nervous. Like, no, she's only under me.
Is the day I will lose half of my people.
She's just so relatable. I absolutely love her. Like, and I love your chemistry between you and your mom. Honestly, you don't see a healthy relationship that much these days with like kids and their parents, or even like adults like us and their parents, because obviously, like, whenever we grew up, we almost kind of grew up with this like resistance. Like, they always told us no, no, no. And we always wanted to do X, Y, and Z. So it was always like this resistance between us and our parents. But you are able to show us that, like, no, our parents are actually, they can be cool. They can be people that you can actually chill with and have a good time with. And, you know, breaking down that barrier between, like I said, us and our parents, and removing this resistance and being able to humanize them. And it's kind of weird to say that because, you know, your parents are humans, but I feel like we almost see our parents just as our parents and not as other people who have their own lives, their own complex human experiences, their own friendships, their own problems, their own successes. We only see them as our mom and dad. And majority of the time they say inshallah, which equates to no. So has it brought you closer to your mom to be able to kind of bring her onto this journey with you?
I will say I was deathly afraid of my mom all my life. So it wasn't like it was always like this. Like, and you find this in a lot of households. Like, the mom isn't disciplinary, the dad just makes the money, and then the mom, like, makes all the decisions, or, like, is, like, the main person making moves, right? So I just, like, grew up with that, like, with my mom being such a strong figure. And I also grew up with, like, not being able to see that online or relate to it. I definitely felt, like, alone growing up, but I love the process of, like, growing up in a strict family and having it develop into what it is today. So it's like it happened naturally, but it took time for sure. And it's still a work in progress. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, my family is very loving and very supportive. And honestly, we're all a bunch of savages when it comes to, like, roasting each other. And we have so much fun, like, making fun of each other. We're always lighthearted. Food is a big part of us. Like, there's so many things that other families go through that we go through that are not shown. So I just wanted to bring that human factor to us and showcase, like, a sense of humor and wit that is not shown anywhere.
That's what I always said. Like, if I go out in the real world, like, nobody could tell me anything horrible that I haven't heard already by my mom or any of my siblings or anybody.
They don't roast me. They flame me. Like, time, I have, like, a big head. It lasts for 2 minutes in my house.
Exactly. And I guess that's, like, their process of keeping us, like, down to earth and staying grounded. I think they're doing a really, really good job at that, because it's such a privilege and it's such a, like, a blessing to have a family, like, that you can come home to, that you are close to that maybe you kind of have a second chance with, because, like we said, like, we kind of grew up in strict households. And I'm not saying that our parents and our families are liberal now, but they're, like, more accepting, more understanding. Like, there's this more, like, adult conversation happening between us and our parents. And sometimes we still are getting treated like kids, but at the same time, on the flip side, there are moments where, you know, they do treat us like adults, and we can have a healthy conversation and a healthy bond. I want to talk about your comedy and how you're able to make relatable content, because when I see your comments, it's not just the Arab community that can relate to it. There's so many other communities, other different various ethnic communities that say, hey, whoa, like, my mom does the same thing as your mom, and et cetera and et cetera. Like, how does that make you feel to be able to make that relatable content? And do you ever feel the pressure of, like, running out of content?
You know, that's an amazing point, because honestly, even though, like, our face value, we're Egyptian American or Arab American, everybody who has a first generation or ethnic family can relate to the type of upbringing, like a strict family upbringing. It feels amazing to be able to relate to all these different backgrounds and ethnicities, because at the end of the day, like, you know, America's a melting pot, and it's only, like, the people that are born here and are westernized that think we're freaks of nature. But in reality, like, everybody who's immigrated in has, like, very similar families, very similar upbringings. So it's not like it's just not shown, you know what I mean, as much. But there's so many different cultures and ethnicities that have the same type of upbringing as I did, that is just, like, it's so normal for us.
And I think that's amazing, because, like we said, like, we grew up with that mainstream culture where we definitely did not see ourselves at all in the TV shows that we grew up watching and everything like that. All of us at one point wanted to be blonde hair, blue eyed. It's so unfortunate, because our features are so beautiful and we should have never discounted our features or anything like that. But you're young and you don't know any better. And all you see and all you're being fed is this mainstream media of people that do not look anything like you. And they glamorize that aspect of beauty, and they tell you that that's the standard of beauty. But, you know, I said your content is relatable, and why it's, like, a universal language, because everybody knows the debt stare that's given to them by their parents. And like you said, everybody knows the slipper. Whenever you see the slipper and you know what's going to happen, you run. That's it. Like, no questions asked. You just drop everything and you run. So a lot of people can relate to that. But let's talk about, like, how many views and how many likes you get. How are you able to not get desensitized to the amount of views that you get, to the amount of comments you get, to the traction, and, like, how viral you've become? Like, how does it truly, truly make you feel?
I think that it's really good to break down the numbers and understand that it's real people watching and real relatability and the comments. Like, honestly, my favorite thing after going through, like, the whole process of creating content and dropping it is reading the comments. Like, that's my favorite, like, talking to people when people argue or connect, you know, like, that's part of, like, human nature. Like, you know what I mean? That means you're really shaking something. Like, if people are not arguing, or you're not making people think outside of the box, or, like, you know what I'm saying, say their opinion out loud, that's a big deal, you know, because we're so used to just, like, keeping our opinions or something. So it takes a lot for a person to comment, you know, and that must mean, like, whenever your stuff is hot and you see that, of course you're excited. And I just love creating conversation, and I'm really, like, a social butterfly when it comes to that stuff. And people are funny. People are really funny. They're very creative. Really cool to see people from all over the world just like comment. Like when it comes to views, it's because I've created something positive. I love that people are watching it. I love that people like know my family and I, you know, in a good light. And it's like the hard work is paying off finally. And it's crazy to look back at. But yeah, I love it. And I'm happy and I'm excited.
How long have you been doing this? Because that's such a great point. Like you started from, I don't want to say nothing, but you started honestly from scratch. Like look at what you've become. How long has it taken you to get to this point? And like, isn't it just such an exciting feeling to be able to witness your dreams come into fruition? Because when we talk about these views and likes, these are real people. Like you said this yourself before, like this is not just a like or a computer generated, like these are actual people from all over the world finally knowing who May Abdelal is and they're actually enjoying your content. Like, how is that not so surreal? Like, how do you not pinch yourself on a daily basis?
I think when it's genuine, it means a lot more. So I made sure like when I would create videos, even in the beginning, I wasn't getting that much or whatever. I was consistently like, yo, I'm going to get better. I didn't know how to edit. I didn't know how to write a caption. I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't even know how to like really record. It was really bad, but at least I was moving. You know, that's the thing. You have to move. You have to be consistent. So it's like when you put your mind to something and you consistently work on it, it's gonna work. So honestly, it feels good starting from nothing and creating something because it's genuine. It's a legacy. It's a brand, right? People genuinely enjoying stuff honestly lasts much longer.
So with the Kardashians ending their reality TV show, are we expected to see May Abdelal and her family?
I gotta see if my mom wants to do a Keeping Up with Moffat and May show.
I could see it.
The poor lady, I always drag her into the weirdest projects, into the weirdest things. And she just, I don't know, this poor lady just.
But she's a natural. She's a natural. That's why you said like, you're very genuine. It's all about authenticity and being genuine. Because like when I see it, I don't see two people acting. I see like a mother and daughter, like literally somebody just like recording them in their natural habitat. The way they're acting. Like I literally see that. And that's why I absolutely love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to talk about women in comedy. This is something like you and I were discussing earlier. Like off mic, and you know, like the women in comedy, but lack thereof. Like I could name a couple of Muslim women or Arab women or Middle Eastern women in comedy, but you still feel like you would like to see more. And sometimes it's like it's difficult to be able to pursue, like you said, a career when your family doesn't support it. But how does that make you feel? Like the amount of women there is in comedy, at least Middle Eastern women, do you feel like we do have a good amount, or do you feel like there needs to be more? How does it make you feel being like a Muslim woman in comedy?
So I definitely feel like there's a lack of Muslim women in comedy. It's really rare. Even for me, like I'm in the scene, right? And I've been in different events and I've met almost everybody online. It's always like, it's definitely male dominated. It has a lack of like women in comedy. And so for me, like even when I started, besides being like the weirdo of the family starting videos, it was even lonelier because no one was really doing it like the way I was doing it. So it's positive where it's like, yo, you're very unique. There's nothing like you out there and there's a need, but it's also very lonely where it's like, okay, here's your uniqueness. Enjoy, because like you can't ask anybody for advice. You don't know what you're doing. You're kind of just like, you know, figuring it out for the rest of the people who are going to follow, you know, or continue. And so it has its ups and downs, but I feel like it's starting to change where people are like accepting it or starting and getting taken more seriously. I just feel like if you have the knack, if you have the want, you can create something valid out of it. And that's like something that our community doesn't really see. It's something that's not really widely believed or spread. So it's starting to change and it's awesome. And I'm glad that I'm part of the change. And it's exciting to encourage people to do what they want, you know?
I definitely think so. I think it's incredible the way that you are paving the path. And yeah, like women in comedy, it comes in different forms. Like, yeah, there's you who's, you know, you're an incredible online sensation. And there's people that do stand-up comedy. That's it. Strictly stand-up comedy. And so much. There's just so much. And it's so nuanced. But I think it's incredible to be able to see somebody like you who is paving the way for possibly other women that want to, you know, jump on this journey. And they're just as funny. Like, out of women are funny. Like, yeah. Pass the mic.
Well, I think out of women are funnier because honestly, like, we have so much trauma. We go more. These dudes don't experience anything. They like, you should see my brother versus me. So they go through a lot less like situations, and we're out here suffering and fighting the cause. And it's like, yo, we have so much more material, like more material, more things that we go through, more things to share. It's dope to be able to do that for sure. It's dope to be able to have, like, even when I was in Dubai, there would be women like, oh my God, we live through you. Keep doing what we're doing. I'm like, so I'd be like, oh, you want to shoot something with me right now real quick? Like, hey, I want to interview. And they were like, no, we can't. We can't really be in front of the camera like that, but we lived through you. And it was like so cool to see like different types of people that like watch and relate. It was really interesting.
Yes, it definitely is. But I think the one thing that hasn't changed ever since your newfound fame is the pressure that you still face from your family in regards to getting married. Do you still feel like you still deal with that? Because I really want to talk all about relationships with you, because I think majority of your content also kind of touches upon that. And I think it's hilarious because all of us struggle in this aspect. I don't care who you are, married, not married, engaged, single, whatever. It's always going to be a struggle. So to be able to see somebody making fun of relationships, it just makes it so much more lighthearted. And you feel like you're not alone in this horrible, horrible struggle that we have to go through.
Yeah, finding that person, finding your person is always like a whole mission. And I remember when I turned 28, my mom was looking at me like I was a disease walking yes. around the house. Like, she could not stand my existence.
Oh my gosh.
I was like trying to celebrate my birthday and be excited. I'm like, hey, I'm 28. And she was disgusted with me. She was like, why are you happy? Why are you breathing in this house? Why are you here? Why are you not married? Like, that was her number one thing. And I remember like anytime anything would happen to me, the solution would be, you know why? Because you're not married. Like, it would always go back to that. And it's just like, you know, like they lived a different life where like my mom got married at 24. So in her mind, I'm 4 years late. In her mind, I'm like an old ass lady.
Literally, my mom got married that same age too. And she still thinks like, she's like, oh, that was even way too late for me. So she's like, when I was 24, and I was like, well, you didn't get married till you're 24 and whatever. She like, don't even compare me, because she's like, I don't even agree with the age that I got married. I'm like, oh my God, like that. And that's why I said like relationship struggles are a real thing and everybody's dealing with it. But add on the fact that you have an Arab mom or a Middle Eastern mom, it makes it 10 times worse, because give it to them to remind you that you're still single and you're not married like every single day of your life. Anything that happens goes back to not being married.
Yeah. And for me, it wasn't that I was like one of those chicks that was like, I don't need a man. I don't want to be married. Hell no. I would go on. I remember I'd be like, no, I'm looking for a real serious yes. dude. Like, very open about it. I'd be like, no, like, and my mom was in the back like, yeah, go find your man. She's like, I don't care how you do it, just go do it. But I was very open about it, and it was like very like it was a topic that I would deal with, so I didn't care. I just brought it to the table. It wasn't anything I was ashamed about. It was also cool to play on that, and like, because it's real life.
It is. And that's the thing, like, it's like you want to tell your parents you're not against it, but like, look what we're working with. Like, they don't know, like, their generation is completely different. And I don't want to bash guys or anything like that, but it was just completely different. And plus, they didn't have social media. Like, I feel like social media kind of, I don't know. Yeah, there's social media apps that you can find the love of your life. But then there's also the other side of social media where everybody thinks like the grass is always greener on the other side. So it's truly, truly a struggle. Like, it's different than our parents' time. Like, they just made eye contact with somebody, and then all of a sudden they just like, oh, we're married. There goes like our wedding. And yes. That's it. It was good enough for them. But for us, it's like too much goes into it. I want you to finish this sentence, because if we're still on the topic of Mama Wafat, if, you know, Mama Wafat would go crazy if she found out you once and then fill in the blank. I'm curious to see if there's certain things that you've done that she hasn't found out about.
You're going to get me killed today.
Just don't promote the episode and your mom won't know about it.
She's going to find out. She Googles my name every 5 minutes. Mama, I'm sorry. If she found out. Oh, snap.
There's something on your mind. I see it. Just spill it, Mame. Spill it.
Okay. If she found out I snuck out before, stole the car, came back the next morning before she woke up.
Whoa.
Listen, this was a while back, you know, like a while, like maybe a few months ago. But that, you know, things didn't change. You know what I'm saying? So we can move on from that. It's fine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, is there less pressure since you are a bit more viral now? Like, does your mom kind of lay off a little bit, or she's the same Mama Wafat from the very beginning?
I think she's still wrapping her head around it. And I think she's never going to be like just completely like okay with it. And I think we take it day by day together. And I make a point of like communicating like deals or things that are happening. But at the end of the day, she's still like, okay, when are you going to find a real job? Like, it's still like kind of something she doesn't get. I remember arguing with her, like, she's like, so when are you going to stop? And I'm like, Mom, I've been doing this for 2 years now. Like, I don't understand. When will you understand that this is like something I love to do, and like, it's not a phase. It's just day by day, honestly, for her. It's completely new, and I don't I don't blame her, but.
Yeah, you can't blame her. I mean, and plus, like, she's not the one that's, like, always looking at all the numbers and all the contents and stuff like that. Like, yeah, she shows up in your skits and stuff like that, but it's just, like, it's a whole different ballpark when you're the one creating this content and pushing it out there. It takes a lot of work. It's not just an easy, like, 1, 2, 3. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. With becoming, like, a viral sensation, mashallah, like, you were able to start traveling the world, but you said it yourself. Your, like, dating experience is still horrible. Even no matter how much I expand my horizons, I still struggle with this. And that is so true. Like, I don't know why we expect that if we go to another city, another country, all of a sudden we're going to have these incredible Massimo lookalikes approaching us when it's just, it's not the case.
Dude, the internet is a lie, because let me tell you something. I travel, and when I travel, I see, and I do nice things, and I go to the areas that they say, oh, go to this lab, go to this area, go eat here, go eat there. I do all of that. But it's at the end of the day, like I said, there are clowns in every town. It's hard. It's just hard nowadays. Honestly, like, you have to understand there's, like, fast-paced life and, like, people just rushing through, and everybody's so accessible and makes everything so easy, and, like, nobody really values each other like that anymore. So it's, like, hard to find that person.
It really is, honestly. And that's the thing, like, it's even scarier when you do say, like, you expand your horizons and it's, like, the same situation, like, nothing really has changed. But I don't want this to be, like, a whole damper of an episode about relationships.
It's not a damper.
It's not.
And it's okay. Love is fun. Love is good. And it's not a damper. It's just, like, it's a process.
it's a process. That's the perfect way to explain it. Let's get into all these relationship questions. I want your relationship advice, May. I think you're an expert by now.
For me?
Yes. Let's start off with the banger, where I feel like everybody's always, like, this is probably where you get the most majority of your comments. Anytime we talk about wanting a relationship with somebody or a partner that has money, you're looked at right away that you're a gold digger. People think of, like, oh, but if you want to be independent, why do you want a guy that makes this much money and spoils you? Like, make it make sense. Like, how does that make you feel?
Hell no. I have no shame in saying it. And I say it straight up. I never want to be with somebody unstable who doesn't have their money together. If you are, and this is something that is normal for us, especially for Arabs, like, well, this is very normal. Do not show up to the house. Do not show up anywhere. Like, you'd rather be single than have a guy that doesn't have his stuff together, who can't provide, say, oh, I want to marry you, I'm in love. Like, we don't do that love stuff. We do it structured so that marriages can last, so that we can be financially stable. So for me saying, nah, I want a man with money, I never gave a damn about that. Like, I was always like, yo, I mean, I'd rather be single than, like, be tied down and be miserable and have, like, all these problems. And even my family wouldn't accept that for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm living a certain lifestyle. It should either be maintained or, you know, multiply. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, times two, times three, no problem with me.
That's what I'm saying. You always say the quirkiest things, like maintained or multiply. It's no shade or shame to those who don't have their life together now. But it's like telling you, like, but if you're doing something as serious of a commitment as marriage, like, yeah, there's a whole idea of growing together and, like, becoming successful together. But you can't go and approach somebody's daughter and have nothing to give at all whatsoever. You know, I had a whole episode about mahar and prenups. So I want to get your insight. If, like, literally you found the love of your life, but he said you got to sign this prenup, how do you feel about that?
Well, I don't know, because at the same time, I feel like, yo, I'm probably going to do big business deals in the future too.
So you need your own prenup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hyping myself up right now by saying I might need a prenup.
No, really? I had a whole episode about this. And I mean, she's an incredible scholar. She's like, why do we only look at the guy approaching us with a prenup? What about your own prenup? Like, how are you protecting yourself? So I was like, wow, that's such an interesting perspective. We always think of, like, the guy throwing that paperwork at us and telling us, like, sign everything and basically you get nothing. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, prenups, I don't know. I just know I'm not into signing anything but checks.
Yes.
Checks is all I sign. I don't know. Anything after that, I'm confused. I'm confused and I don't know about it. I can't sign nothing. My fingers don't work at that point.
Let's talk about turnoffs. Those are always fun. I'll share some of mine. I think my number one turnoff is when a guy he's good looking. And he knows it and he acts like it. I can't stand that. Maybe for me, I just can't stand, like, the guys that are, like, they're also famous on Instagram and they know that they're good looking and they make all these videos of just them. That's it. Just them, like, I don't know, like, squinting, biting their... I can't stand that, May. Like, come on.
Sexy posing. I think I know what you're saying. I think you don't like those cocky... self-absorbed.
Cocky is the right word. Be confident. Like, you know, I love that, but it's just like, if you're literally the type that just shave halak awalashi, like, I do not, I can't stand that.
But let me tell you, mine is somebody like cheap. Yes. I don't to be stingy. And I'm religious. When it comes to that, I'm very religious. Don't be cheap. It's against my religion.
Yes, exactly. That's the one thing. That's why when we were talking about like being with a guy that's financially stable, it's just like just not wanting somebody that's stingy. It's like the worst thing when you have somebody that just literally will not give you anything, very, very, very cheap with you. Look, what's the point? Another one is bad hygiene for me.
Oh, yes. I was getting, I swear to God, that was my number two. Bad hygiene, number two. Absolutely not.
And long fingernails, like, no. Like, that's disgusting. Like, I just get gross. Like, this is stuff I see. Like, I don't make this stuff up, Mary. Like, I get gross. And then guys that shave off their body hair.
What? When a guy shaves body hair?
If he doesn't have hair on his legs, like, that's not normal for me. Like, you have to have hair on your arms, on your legs. Go ahead.
Can I say something? Not to air out my older brother, but my older brother, he has a beard and he has, like, a solid hairline, but he naturally doesn't have, like, leg hair.
Okay, that's natural. I'm just saying, like, the guys that actually take it off.
Oh, you mean like wax or like shave it
off? Yeah, wax and shave it off. Like naturally, some people are not hairy and that's totally fine. And I don't want an overly hairy person, but I'm just saying naturally, like if you're the type that like literally, or not naturally, if you're the type that literally takes wax and just like waxes all your body hair off, that's weird for me. Like that's just too much into yourself. Okay, what about things that you do find attractive? Let's not completely bash.
I think a good heart, a man that's about his business, who's very caring. And a fun person, someone that you can laugh with. I love humor and obviously that's my thing. So I love somebody I can have a great time with and like enjoy. Like I want to be with somebody who I love being around, you know?
Somebody that supports your dream too. Because you don't want somebody that's like also telling you or making you feel like this is a phase when it's not. Like you've made this into, mashallah, like a career of yours. So just having a partner that really understands you and supports you, I think is the best thing. And that's the type of confidence I want. Not the cockiness, but the confidence in being like, he's good with what he's doing and he's also proud of everything that you're doing. He's going to support you and not care if you're outshining him or anything like that.
A man that like lets you do your own thing and doesn't belittle it 100%. And it is rare to find somebody who could like respect and like support this type of work. Even like you podcasting, like that's probably like different in general.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to hear that it's a phase, and the whole belittling I think is like the worst thing ever. So that's like, for me, that's my number one deal breaker. If you don't support me, I can't support this relationship. Sorry. Like, that's just the way it works. Okay. You're on a first date. The guy, you know, asks for the bill. The bill comes and he says, we're going to split the bill.
The man says, I'm going to split the bill with me on the first date. Oh, I'm causing a scene. I'm going to be like, oh, call the police. Call the police. Oh, you're not going to catch me split half. I'm just going to be like, honestly, in my head, when I thought of this scenario, and I don't know, I think of different ways I can handle it. I can handle it maturely, but I don't think I would do that.
I mean, I'm going to put down my credit card, but you will never hear from me again. I'm very old school. Very old school, you know, when it comes to that.
For me, it's like given. Like if a man asks you out on a date, then he better have enough money to take you. That's just ties into like that person. Like, obviously, are you dating to just have fun or like find your person? So it just ties into like, yo, if this man is serious about me, if he's not and he's cheap, that's not your person. You know what I mean? Either you could put down your card and dispute it later, or you could.
I love that.
Tricks of the trade. But for me, that's like a big no indicator. You will never see me again.
See, I asked that question kind of before or something similar to that. And I was shocked because there was a lot of women that said that they are willing to split bills. And I was like, whoa, look, am I still part of like this old school traditional era that I don't believe in that? I believe in that if after like we're married and it's serious and you're my person, I'm down to help you, support you in any time if you need it. But if we're like, if you're getting to know me and you're asking to split the bill, I can't.
We're not even talking about bills. We're talking about a dinner date. Is that a bill? Like, that's just like you went out to eat. So that's just like an indicator. I mean, if you're cool with that, you'll definitely find people that are cool with that. But like for me personally, that's an absolute no.
How about this one? This is a tricky one. I'm kind of intrigued to see what you have to say. Would you rather have a partner that you can read his mind all the time? I'm telling you every single detail, not when he's just thinking about you or when he's around you, like every detail, every second, like you're able to read his mind, or the ability to read his text messages. Of course, we don't approve of this. This is toxic, but I'm just saying, which one?
Read his mind or read his text messages. I mean, this is like, for me, I'm the nosiest. If you know me, I love, like, I'm very nosy. I have no shame in saying it. read his mind or read his messages. That's a really...
It's tough. It's tough.
Oh, I don't know what I would do with this information. That's a lot of information. I would be not like, I don't even know if I'd be able to work at that point. Like do anything for myself because I'd just be so interested and nosy.
That's why it's a hard one.
If I had to pick between text messages and mind, that's a really good question.
And when I said read his mind, it's everything, mate. Like 24/7 feed coming in or just call us. You get to just read his messages whenever you feel like it.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'd probably pick his mind. I'd probably pick his mind though. Because like a lot of guys don't say how they feel.
No, they don't. That's the thing.
I don't want to read messages when I could just go to the source. I could just say a question and you just have the answer right there. Oh, that would be horrible though.
That's why I said it's very toxic. We do not approve of these questions or answers.
God, please give me this gift.
How about this though? When it comes to you, would you rather have your personal text messages released or leaked or your social media DMs? It depends which one's worse. So which one are you keeping to yourself?
I would probably keep my DMs to myself and have messages leaked. Yeah. Actually, hold up. I spoke too soon.
Something came down your mind.
No. I don't know. You're asking these tough questions. Would I rather have my DMs leaked or my text messages leaked? Okay, my DMs, I don't really answer like that. But I don't like people being exposed, period. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, like whoever is messaging me or whatever, I always just ignore it.
Look at you being a good Samaritan. Forget your DMs, your text messages, or your camera roll.
Oh, definitely my messages. I don't want my camera roll exposed at all. Absolutely not. I would pick messages any day. Text messages all day. Camera roll? No.
Ma'a salama.
Are you working with somebody? Are you?
I'm working with Mama Wafat, girl.
What the hell? Mama Wafat, get off. What?
No, I seen these questions the other day. It was somebody, he was like a radio personality and he like asked them back to back. I didn't even click on his poll because I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I would want to. I'm like, how about I don't want to release anything, but shoot, if like you are pinned against the wall and you have to release one thing, like what would it be? I don't know. And wallah, I don't even have much to hide. I think it's all about privacy to me. Okay, how do you feel about your potential partner having best friends of the opposite sex? I think this comes up a lot. And the reason being, I think, is because we're such in a different world these days where it's kind of more common to have just like this, you know, mixed friend group. Sometimes you become really close friends with the certain opposite sex and stuff like that. And then you meet the one. But it's like, I don't know, look, do you just drop your best friend just like that because you meet the one?
Everybody always hides what makes them uncomfortable nowadays and acts like they're cool with everything. I don't care to say this is very uncomfortable. I don't like it. I don't want it. So for me, like, I do not want my man having a girl best friend. That's not happening. And I feel like my man, vice versa, wouldn't want that for me. I think there's a respect level. And it's cool to have friends who are girls. Who cares? Yes, that's fine. But don't be having this woman call you and tell you, oh, what's your advice? Go ask somebody else.
I think that's how I feel. Like, you could totally have friends of the opposite sex. That's normal. You have coworkers, you have business, you have just everything, like, in general. But, like, when it comes to that point where you guys are, or people even confuse you guys for being in a relationship, that's something I can't deal with. But I asked this question on my podcast before. A lot of people, surprisingly, said they think it's weird if you think there's something wrong with your husband having a female, like, best friend. And I was like, oh my God, I felt so left out. I was like, that's not how I think. I don't know.
It's because, let me tell you one thing. My husband... He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, me, I don't want to brag too much, but I'm hot. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And I don't care. Every single male friend I've ever had, you're going to tell me they've never thought of something like that is not friendship. I feel like there's boundaries that you should set and it's cool. But no, absolutely not for me. I'm going to have to pass on that one.
Okay, I think I literally put you through the ringer like crazy. I gave you
through the ringer, but I loved it. I enjoyed it.
A lot of relationship questions that you're thinking about. Hey, these are some good skit ideas, I think, for some of them.
Yeah.
I think you should ask the one about the text messages or the camera roll or whatever. I would love to see what people have to say.
I would love to go ask people that question, honestly, because I was looking for like a street interview question that it could be either or, where people pick in the two and like debate. So that's a really good one, actually.
So how is your halal dating life though in general? Like, do you feel like right now you're not so focused on that, or you have been kind of meeting certain people? Because I'm pretty sure your DMs are getting packed now. I mean, like, the more people know you.
It's crazy because like when someone DMs me, I've seen it where I've like just responded regularly, like, oh, thank you for the support. And next thing you know, it's like screenshotted, posted. Oh my God. Like, so, but it's out of love and I appreciate that. But also as a person, you have to be like aware and protective of your brand and who you are. So for me, I'm very like general, respectful, appreciative. But other than that, you're not going to catch me lacking.
No,
you're not.
Just send a thank you. And that's it. But it's hard because it's like you want to show your appreciation for the fact that they're sharing your content or they're commenting. But like, yeah, there's certain lines and layers that you cannot cross and you have to protect yourself at all costs because people can make up the craziest stories, like literally the craziest stories. And you don't want that. Let's talk about Kalimni Yapapi. I can't even say it. Can you please say it? Because I literally just butchered it. Please, I said it's so dry without seasoning or anything.
It's okay. I'll teach you how to do it. You hold your hand like this.
Yes.
Kalimni Yapapi. And you got to look into the camera and just like do the sad but the like attractive.
Are you trademarking this? Is like
I don't know. I should trademark it, but I am dropping merch around that very, very soon that I'm excited about.
When is that happening? Like before the end of the year?
I keep saying in a week. No. Like it's definitely happening before the end of this year. But you know, the design's almost finished. I'm working on it every day and I just want it to be as cool as the first one. And so that's something that's in the works right now that I'm super excited about.
Yes. Bring in the sweaters, the crew necks. Honestly, like it's like the season for it. And I absolutely love it. Honestly, like I'm just so proud of you, Min, how far you've come. And it's just so exciting watching you just like succeed and doing so, so well. You know, with all this success, I do believe you need a support group. And it's like, I wonder like, what is the best advice that somebody has given you? Because sometimes it's like, you know, you're funny, you're hilarious and stuff like that. But behind closed doors, people don't know exactly like how much work you put into this. There's still self-doubt. As incredible as you are, there still has to be some certain self-doubt or some degree of self-doubt when you are releasing content or anything like that. But like, do you have like a support group or somebody that gives you good advice? And like, maybe what was like one of the best pieces of advice that you've ever received?
I think that is a very real thing to say. Like at the end of the day, I never feel like, oh, this and that, because it can fall within a second. But I work like I did in the beginning. And yeah, I do take a few days off here and there, but I always feel guilty about it. And you know why? Because I always train myself to like have that consistent mentality where it's like drop, create. And so like, even if I wake up today and I see, oh my God, I hit a million. I do this. It's like, okay, what's next? Like, all right, don't sleep on yourself. Like, I don't know. There's just things that within yourself, because you're so passionate and you love this so much that you push yourself. You're like your number one, like motivator and also the person that beats yourself up and puts you down. So for me, like that's what I struggle with. And I think I have like a very solid group around me of like family and like very, very close friends that I weaved out. Like I can tell you, I dropped so many people and I cut off so many people so that I could keep my mental health solid and I could keep my space like positive and peaceful, that it's very important. The people you surround yourself with really do affect you. And I used to hear that and be like, oh, okay, there. Wow, this is just some like psychology therapy talk. Like, but it's very, very true. You start to mimic their behaviors. You start to like act like them. I have people who are very honest. My brother is my very close friends. Like I'll send them a video, even like, you know, you're engrossed so much in yourself sometimes that you need an outside opinion. So it's very important to send it to like people, to send it to like your close friends who are very honest with you, who will give you honest feedback and be like, yo, this is whack. Like, this is terrible. Here, do it this way, or like an encouraging way, or you know what, May, you're on to something, but this isn't it. Like, it's very important to have that around you.
Yeah, I think it's honestly so important. I've always said this on the podcast, like it's so important who is sitting across from you on the same table that you're sitting at, because this person can either distance you away from your dreams or continue helping you to push yourself towards your dreams. Like it takes only one person to make or break you. And it's sad. It's not like that we're putting our entire worth on other people, but you know, the opinions and feedback from other people really does kind of like it festers in our mind. So I'm not saying to have people that are always constant cheerleaders, but like in your case, how you have your brothers who do positive critique you, that's what you need. And I think it's so incredible that you do have somebody in your corner that is able to do that. Because again, like with the fame, with just becoming a viral sensation, like there has to be times where somebody does ground you and is there for you and supports you. Because even if you're receiving any negative feedback, you're receiving it in like 10 times as much as what somebody like a normal person would have received it. So it's much more difficult to be able to handle such a large audience all by yourself. So you need a support group for sure. Like I said, mashallah, like you're doing incredible. Like you know you've grown so much. Like, look at what point you've reached and look at how many corners of the world you've reached. And I'm honestly, just like I said, I'm just so excited to see the more content that you're going to, you know, put out there. And I think it's just going to be hilarious, funny, and just keep doing what you're doing. I think you're really, really paving the path for a lot of other women who are interested in this field as well. But do you have any other lasting words that you have for our listeners, or just anything that, you know, was on your mind?
Yeah, I want to say thank you so much for like giving me your platform or allowing me to voice my side and like have this talk. It's like a side that a lot of people don't get to see. And I think what you're doing is amazing. And I think the type of people you bring on just show different perspectives and different things are shaking and moving. So I really appreciate like even talking to you. And it felt like so comfortable. Like I was talking to like one of my homies. So this is
thank you
everybody for listening in and just taking the time to like learn more about me and hear me out. This was awesome. And I just want to say I appreciate you.
You know, Willa, you just brought up a great point, because honestly, a majority of the time on this podcast, like, people know me as being very serious because I'm talking about like serious, serious conversations. So to be able to have you on and have this girl chat, oh my gosh, it was like much needed. And I had such a good time. And I hope people take our answers, like on our responses in this conversation, with a grain of salt. Obviously, we're just like joking around with the majority of these questions and we're having a good time. So I just want to thank you, because like you were such a gem from start to finish, like from just like even first reaching out to you, you and your team. You guys were always just so kind. And I just had a really good time with you. I had such a blast with you, and it's an honor. Like, I need to pinch myself.
And I told you, like, I love when I see women, like, especially like minority women doing their thing or shaking it up or even creating like this. So I was all in when I heard about this podcast. I was excited about it. So I'm glad I'm here, and I'm glad I got to talk to you for the past hour. This was awesome.
Thank you, May. And like I said, I hope to see more content from you. And again, your name, mashallah, has become a household name, and I hope it continues to be that way.